On this week's podcast, I am talking with my teacher, my friend, my mentor, William Rand, about our evolution to online Reiki classes and how that came about and all of that. So I'm so glad you could join us, William. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. Just to let you know what we have going on, we have lots of Reiki classes in December. We've got level one and two, animal Reiki and animal communication. That's the first time I've taught animal communication in a while, and I don't have it on the schedule again. So join us if that works for you. In January, I've got a full lineup of classes, and again in April. So check out Reiki from the Farm, our new website. And if you don't already get our newsletter, please join us. Please join our newsletter list so we can stay in touch. William, you've got some pretty interesting things coming up.
Yeah.
You're traveling all over the world?
Not all over, but I'm going to Korea tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. So I get up early in the morning and fly off to Korea, and I teach over there. I fly to Taiwan. I teach in Taiwan also, and I fly back to Hawaii, and then I've got some classes there too. So I'll be staying in Hawaii till just before Christmas and New Year's. I'll come back here and celebrate Christmas and New Year's back here in Michigan.
And then I'll join you in Hawaii for our licensed teacher retreat in January.
Yeah.
So we'll
it'll be in January. Yeah, that'll be great.
We'll have some nice hiking around.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure.
Well, I'm just going to invite the listeners. I'll just do a brief prayer to invite them to bring their hands together in Gassho and activate their Reiki energy. And just feel into how you feel about online. Does it resonate with you? Does it not? And I just invite you to open your heart and your mind, your intuition. As you listen to our conversation, and just invite technology to weave through this conversation. That's how we get to connect each week on the podcast. And I'm so grateful for that. Inviting your Reiki symbols to join you. And we say, just for today, I will not be angry. I will not worry. I'll be devoted to my work. I'll be filled with gratitude and I will be kind. Thank you. Namaste. Well, William, we wanted to talk today about the evolution to online Reiki classes. I really appreciate you joining us. There was a time when the ICRT was staunchly against the idea of online Reiki classes. Can you explain why that was?
I wouldn't say we were staunchly against it, but we just didn't do it. And right. I knew at that time there were some people that were doing it, and their explanation was that we have the distance symbol, we could send Reiki at a distance, and so therefore we could teach at a distance. So I thought, that's fine. But I felt that teaching in person was a lot better, and of course there was no pandemic, and our classes were going just fine, and we had lots of students, and teaching in person and doing hands-on Reiki practice was easy to do. Mm. And I knew about, like I say, I knew that a few other people were teaching at a distance. They weren't teaching online because there was no online at that time. So Zoom technology only recently came into being. I think in a teen or so, it became more available. It's so interesting that that did happen right when there was a need for it in teaching Reiki classes. But yeah, at that time, I didn't see any reason for any need to teach at a distance. And so I just continued to teach in person.
Yeah, and the rest of us did too. And I remember, William, in a conversation with you as well, where you had experimented with some online attunements. And at that time, this was several years ago that we discussed this. And at that time, you discovered they weren't quite as powerful. It wasn't online, it was distance attunements. And I remember you telling me that they weren't quite as powerful.
Yeah, what we did at that time wasn't a real need or effort to teach at a distance, but just an experiment. But however, the thing is that after Holy Fire Reiki came into being, we started to get some upgrades.
Yeah.
And then what happened is we had a lot of people that had what we called level one holy fire, and but they didn't have level two, and the same thing for level three. And so then I was teaching in-person classes to upgrade people, and I realized, gee, is that really fair that people already took the class, and isn't there some way that we can teach an upgrade online? So
Right.
then I was working with Colleen Benelli, and I said some prayers asking for guidance. And in a session, I was asking, is it possible for me to do this upgrade class online? And my guide, Jesus, and I say Jesus, and he comes to me as a spiritual master, not as a Christian or as a religious figure in any way. So Jesus has a tremendous versatility in how he presents himself to people, and he can conform to the beliefs or needs of each individual. So when he works with Christians, he's working with their needs and who they are as Christians. But when he works with spiritual seekers, then he adjusts his energy to be with spiritual seekers. He's very versatile and he's very powerful, and very happy to have been able to work with Jesus in that capacity, in that way. And I did pray some prayers and ask Jesus, and also he works with what are called the Brothers and Sisters of the Light. And so they're actually the founders of all the world's religions and spiritual paths. And they're enlightened, and along with Jesus. And I found also that Jesus was part of that group. And so he worked with them also. He wasn't just by himself and saying, I'm the best, I'm the only one, I'm the correct way. He was working with other enlightened beings as equals. And I that was took me a while for me to accept that or think about it, because I was raised as a Christian and a Baptist and very strict. But then, of course, I got away from it, but I still had my original experiences around it. So it took me a while to assimilate that idea that Jesus also can work with other enlightened beings. He's not the only enlightened being out there. So that was fascinating. And so then we just said some prayers asking Jesus and the Brothers and Sisters of the Light if there's a way for us to do this upgrade. And he has said yes, but he said I needed to receive some upgrades myself. And so Jesus did the equivalent of attunements on me. And so my energy got developed, and he gave me the correct energies in my field to be able to work online. And so we went ahead and did the 4-hour upgrade for Holy Fire Reiki, and it worked really well. And so I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's fantastic. But at that time, there was no pandemic and there was no need for anything like that. So
Right.
that was in 2019. So about 9 months later or so, then we had the pandemic, and then all of a sudden it's closing in. So I was teaching, I was on Maui, and I could see the news and how things were starting, people were starting to be concerned. And I taught at Redondo Beach. I had two classes, and then it was getting a little. So in those classes, we said, we're just not going to touch each other, and we'll do the hands a little bit away from the body like that, because the news about COVID was getting more that there's a serious concern. And then I went to Seattle, and see, in Seattle, it was even stronger. There was the warning. And so I taught one class, and I had to cancel my last class, and I flew back to Michigan because the COVID thing was just starting. The airlines were shutting down and things like that. So I got on a flight just in time, got back to Michigan, and started wondering about what to do. Now, one of the things that I do in my practice is I follow some guidance that I got from a kahuna I worked with. When I lived in Hawaii, I had the good pleasure and amazing experience of working with a Hawaiian kahuna. And he had studied with 9 other kahunas, and so he was very well versed. And he said, the way of the huna, of huna, is that you're always a student. And so you're always learning, and there's never a place where you're done. And so that's why you'd study with 9 other kahunas. And he said something very interesting. He said, these energies, all of them, can always be developed further. There's no limit. I got it. And so that was a really important idea that I had in my mind. And then also, when I took level one, and in the level one class, it was on the Big Island, and it was taught by Bethel Fay, who was taught by Mrs. Takata. And then there were 4 attunements for level one, and I got maybe 2 or 3 of them. And I went for a walk by myself out in the jungle out there, and I saw the sunlight coming down through the trees, and the energy spoke to me, and it said, this energy can be developed. It was a
Right.
very clear message. I got it. And it was so interesting because at that time, the way Reiki was being taught was that no, you can't develop it. You have level one, and everyone has level one. It's the same for everybody. That's level one. You can't make it stronger or anything. But if you go to level two, it does get stronger, but you can't make it stronger. You got level two and then the master and so forth, but there's no way to make it stronger. But the energy told me there's a way of making it stronger, that it could be developed. So I accepted the energy. And I thought, if I'm going to follow anything, it's going to be the Reiki energy itself. The Reiki energy told me it could be developed. And so that's what I had in mind. I had level one, then I got level two later. And then I found that the master level was $10,000. And I didn't even know anything about it. I was really taken back when my teacher Bethel told me it was $10,000. And I thought, level two is fine. It's good enough for me. And I can't afford $10,000. So I'll just let that go. But another thing she said is that Reiki can guide you. So because of that, I started saying a prayer. And so that was one of the features of Reiki, that Reiki acts like a source of guidance for you in your awareness about what to do. So I started saying a prayer. And asking to be guided, the prayer was, guide me and heal me so that I might be of greater service to others. And I said that prayer intently every day, imagining going up to the source of Reiki. And sometimes I had a crystal in my hands, like just boost it up. And then I changed it a little while later to guide me and heal me so that I might be of greater service to myself and others. And so I was asking for guidance. Now, a very amazing thing happened shortly after that. I was living in a little, it's called a plantation shack, which is what they provided for the people who worked on sugarcane plantations. And then the city moved out where the plantation was gone, but these plantation shacks, as they called them, were still there. So there were three of them, and I got a chance to rent one of them. So I lived in a plantation shack, which was basically considered to be really cool. You could get one of those. And so I lived there. And I just thought, I'm going to stay here the rest of my life because this is such a really great place in Hawaii. If you've ever been there, you probably got the same idea. And
Yes.
so then I was saying my prayer also for guidance. And I was a little bit mixed up. I wasn't quite sure what to do. I studied so many different things, and there was a lot of different energies and forces trying to affect me. So I was saying my prayer though. And then one night after I went out and got my laundry, because we had like a mutual community laundry, a washer and dryer, I went out and I came back in. But when I was out there, the stars were blazing and the sky was crystal clear. You could see levels of stars going out into the depths of the universe. And you could feel this encompassment of the whole universe, a tremendous expansion. And I was feeling that when I walked back in the house. And then there was a being there, and it was guiding, it gave me some guidance and says, and I was wondering about what to do. I was saying my prayer, and it said, there is a way for you. And when this being said that, I saw a path going off into the distance, so like a path of light. And I go, whoa. I
Yeah.
was really like, that's amazing. And I'm looking at it and go, wow, oh, wow. And then the being says, on this path, at first it will be difficult, but we will be here to help you. And we'll guide you through the problems and difficulties. And in the end, you will accomplish your life purpose.
Wow.
So, yeah, I go, wow. Oh, wow. And then I think, wait a minute. I never told anyone what my life purpose was. How does he know? So I said, how do you know my life purpose? And it didn't actually start with this being, it was actually an angel, but he took a moment and then he came back and he said, I have been given the key. I go, oh, that sounds reasonable. So an angel would say that. So anyway, so then the angel said, but you can't just be aware, be impressed by this path and aware of it. You have to decide if you want to accept it. I go, oh, okay, good. So then I said, I accept this path. And then after that, my life changed. And I was guided to go all the way back to Michigan, where could become a Reiki master for $500. So I didn't know that till I got back here. I was just kind of forces were causing me to come back. And when I got back here, I found out why, and it was because I could become a master for $500, which I could afford. So that's when, in March of '89, I became a Reiki master. I'd studied all these different modalities and techniques and methods and so forth, and studied with a kahuna, also a Wicca practitioner who was called a hereditary witch. Now, in witchcraft, which also is called Wicca, there is something called the hereditary witch, which meant that her parents were witches. Her grandparents were witches, and all of her relatives going way back into ancient times had all been witches. And of course, most of the time, often practicing in secret. I learned from her too, and the kahuna. So I had that background and the idea that these things could be developed. And so that's how I got into Reiki. And also, the kahuna said it's really valuable if you have a clairvoyant person to work with who's a clairvoyant healer. Because while you can heal yourself, when he taught how to do that, and of course Reiki had that, you can heal yourself. He said it's better if someone else looks at your aura, because they'll see things you can't see, and they'll see levels of awareness that you aren't aware of, and be able to give you a better idea of what you need to heal and to help you. They'll help you heal. So because of that, then I did seek out. At first, it was the Kahuna. Then I sought out other people. And it's amazing that I was saying prayers to help me find someone. And I always found someone that was remarkably good. And there are a lot of people that are clairvoyant and are healers, but often they're not wholeheartedly behind you. They don't always want you to do well. And they're somewhat wanting to take something from you. And they want to appear to be the one at the top, and then you're that way down below. But there are others who actually wholeheartedly want you to do well on your spiritual path, whatever that might be. And so that's the type of person I was guided to find. And I did find a number of people like that. That's, I would say, one of my secrets, that I've been able to find these very adept people to work with me. And now I'm working with Colleen Benelli, who's actually one of our licensed teachers. And I'm getting that extra guidance.
William, I remember when you first moved to digital experiences for the upgrades because it was March of 2017. And I really remember saying, William, that's not going to work. Like I had that thought in my head that energy just couldn't be passed on online. And you've explained the evolvement and the development and how you seek your guidance. And obviously your guidance said pass this energy online. And I can remember in the online upgrade, you only charged us like $39. And you were
Oh yeah,
saying
35, I think it was. Yeah, for
35.
the
Yeah,
up,
there you
yeah,
go.
$35. Yeah,
And I
that's
thought,
right.
for $35, what do I have to lose? Even though I really, and I remember sharing this with you later, that William, I was very skeptical that online would work. I was kind of not a person that was comfortable with technology. I would even say I was a Luddite at that time. Now I love technology, but that's been an evolvement for me with Reiki. And I remember the class, it was my first class that I'd done with you through a computer. And you know what was funny was my animals, my dogs and my cats, all had Reiki attunements. And they just gathered around that computer like they knew something was going on. And you did a talk and you explained how the energy had upgraded and that it would continue to do. You had received guidance that the holy fire energy was going to continue to develop. And you shared that with us in 2017. And then we took a small break. And when we came back, you went to do our experience to upgrade us. And I'm still thinking, William, I don't think this would work. And if anything, my animals had gotten closer to me. I had a cat that was lying right on the computer on my lap. And as soon as you started that experience, I felt every cell in my body start to vibrate. It went all the way down one side of my body, all the way up the other side. And I went, oh, I guess online does work.
Yes. Yeah, phenomenal. Fantastic. And I'm going to go ahead and explain more of the details around that. But at this moment, I need to take a break.
We'll take a
Let's
short.
we'll
So yeah, William, I remember just thinking that it wouldn't work, and it worked powerfully, and my students noticed the difference the very next day, and I realized, wait a minute, there is something to this online stuff. And I believe it was Zoom technology you used at the time, but for a
I'm
while,
not sure if I used Zoom for the upgrades or not. It
I'm not
might
sure
have
either.
been.
I
It
don't know.
could have been something like that. But the upgrades, yeah, those happened at first. And I never thought about teaching the whole class
No.
at all at that time. It was just people already had Holy Fire and they're going to the next level. So I was told, because they already have holy fire, it will be easy to go up to the next level. And that's coming from my guides, the brothers and sisters of the light, Jesus, they were saying that. Yep.
We had a few upgrades that we did online, William, and they were effective every time. And I remember actually attending a class with you in person right after the online upgrade because I just wanted to understand a bit better how it happened and also understand the energy of the upgrade a bit better. But it was, I remember you saying at the time that you wanted to offer them that way because you didn't want us to have to spend all the investment of time and money to take our classes again. So this was a way that you could give them to us effectively and inexpensively. And indeed it did work. But now let's fast forward a little bit to the pandemic, because I remember when you were teaching in Redondo Beach and then did you say Seattle after the classes? I had been teaching in London, England, and a lot of people are aware that I was stranded a little bit. And I received a very clear message that said, you need to get over your resistance to technology because people need your help right now. Now, in the meantime, it was only a couple of days after I eventually made it home that you came on and announced that your guides had told you it was time to go online. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the pandemic, and how you realized that shifting to online classes was not only necessary, but also something people really needed right now? And then what you did to make sure the online teaching would work, because I know the story, but not all the listeners do.
Yeah, I didn't know if it would work. Part of me didn't know it would work, but in my sessions, Jesus and the brothers and sisters of the light, who also are called the ascended masters, working with us, said this is possible. And in fact, what they told me was that they knew the pandemic was coming without saying anything to me. They were upgrading my auric field so I could teach online. So they were already preparing me months in advance without even letting me know that, of course, I'm completely into upgrades and I accepted all of them. But they weren't saying specifically this was because you're going to be teaching online. We didn't know anything about that. So they said they already were, upgrading my energy to do it. So I thought, wow, that's something. And then they said we need to give an additional upgrade, which is called an ignition in Holy Fire. And so I got an initial one. Colleen got one too. And then I had a class coming up because I was wondering what to do. And I was assured that you can teach this online. And the students were all of them, most of them were all seasoned Reiki masters. And so they had taken classes and they were teaching and everything. So they knew all about the energy and how it works and how it feels and all that. So they would be re very good students to give a fee get feedback on the process because I wanted to get that too. So I taught the entire class, and that was a Reiki master class. And then during the class, I was asking people, how's it feeling? What's going on? And they were very impressed. And I was saying, is this as good as in person? I said, William, this is better than in person. And I said, what?
I
Are you
know.
saying really it's better? And so it took me a while to accept that it could be better. But they said, no, it's better. Because of what my guides were doing, they prepared everything. And also, they wanted to make sure there was no question in students' minds that it worked. So that's why they made it very powerful. So there was absolutely people knew. So then after that, I was much more accepting that it worked and could easily start teaching classes online.
I love that, William. And personally, having just received the message that I needed to get over my resistance to technology, this is what people needed right now. And then 2 days later, I remember our LRMT meeting, and you came in and said, "Hey guys, I just received this guidance that it's time to go online." And at that time, I don't know, we had 18 or 20 teachers, or maybe a bit more. And people were saying, "William, what about this? What about this? What about this?" And I remember clearly you said, "Guys, I just found out 2 hours ago. I don't know all the answers yet, but I'll get back to you as soon as I do." And as I recall, you then went and worked with the energy every day for the next 2.5 weeks to just strengthen and strengthen. And when you came back, it might not have even been 2.5 weeks. It might have only been 2 weeks later. When you and Colleen came back 2 weeks later, you guys had completely developed alternatives, like things that we used to do in person. You had complete instructions of an online alternative to specific exercises. You had all of the information we needed on the technology, on tutorials to get used to the technology. You walked us completely through it. And I can remember I had been guided to put not any of my Reiki classes online yet, because of course that guidance would come from the ICRT, but I had been guided to move two of my animal communication classes to join them together and put them online. And I was very nervous. I didn't know how I was going to do that. And yet, after your training, I think a few days after that, I think the training might have been on a Wednesday. And the following weekend, I was teaching my animal communication class online. You really walked us through all the steps. I felt very competent and complete. I had gone out and bought the particular microphone that you recommended, and I had just upgraded my computer. So it really made it effortless. But William, I started getting the same feedback you did. The students who were attending said, "This is amazing. This is," and I would say, "Is it?" Because I had many reviewers as well. And so I would ask them, "Is it like in person?" And many people said it was actually stronger for them. And I think it's a result of that work you did to really strengthen it.
Yeah, I base the value of what I do on the results that the students receive. It's
Yes.
not based on a theory or what I think's supposed to happen or anything like that, or even how it's been done in the past. It's what happens with for the students. What do they experience? And yeah, like you got and I got and everyone was getting, it's even more powerful. So yeah, it's like hard to you fathom that when you first start doing it. But the thing is that this has been a process of continual upgrades. And
Yes.
one of the things about that too that is very important to know is that there's a teacher in Japan, Hiroshi Doi Sensei. We call him Sensei because he's a revered teacher. He's Japanese, of course. He speaks and writes and reads Japanese fluently and also is a researcher. And so he looked for sources of information about Usui and how he taught. And he found someone whose grandfather had taken a class from Usui and had notes that that grandfather had taken and gave them to Hiroshi Doi Sensei. And in the notes, it said that Usui said the most important thing for a Reiki practitioner to do is to continually seek to improve the quality and quantity of Reiki energy they're able to channel. That's something I got from the energy directly. And then Asui's saying that's what he said. So I thought, wow, that validates something I got and makes it even more valid if Asui actually said that. Then we started letting people know about this, that the Asui system is a system that's supposed to develop. It's not supposed to stay the same. That was a really important piece of information. Now, the other thing too is we began to get more detailed information about what Asui's experience was. And because Hiroshi Doi could speak and write English and he knew other Reiki practitioners in Japan too, then they could do much deeper research around Reiki. And what they found out was that the Asui system wasn't something Asui got right away all at once. He got just the energy at first. And then he went to practice and he went to the mountain, Mount Karama, in March of 1922. And he was there 3 weeks. It could have been in April. It's possible it was in April that he came that down. And he went to Tokyo. He began practicing. And then he began to train people, but he didn't have a very substantial training method. What he would do is he would have the students take their hands and place them like this. And he would put his hands on top of their hands and give their hands Reiki. And because of that they gradually got Reiki in their hands, but it was very slow. And then what happened is there was something called the Great Kanto earthquake of 1923. That was in September of 23. So it's over a year and 6 months or something since he had gotten Reiki, this earthquake. Now, during the experience on Mount Karama, Asui became enlightened and he received something called Anzen Ditsume. And Anzen Ditsume is a type of enlightenment in which you are shown your life purpose. And not only that, you are empowered to achieve it. So it's one thing to know what you're supposed to do. It's another thing to be confident and be guided and be able to easily fulfill your purpose. And so Anzen Ditsume is a way of knowing your purpose and easily fulfilling it because you're being guided and empowered. You're given all the energy and knowledge and direction that you need to fulfill your purpose. And that's what he received on Mount Karama. And then he got the Reiki energy and he started teaching, but the teaching was going slowly because that's all he did is he would give Reiki to the students' hands. So he went into meditation and did a prayer and asked for a stronger method for teaching, for passing on the energy. So in September of 1923, that's when he received the ability to do attunements. Only they called them Leiju, which is starts with an R-E-I-J-U, Leiju, it's pronounced. Then what he did at first, he didn't have a formal ceremony. He would just touch the students' shoulders and immediately they had Reiki. Or he would touch their hands or their hips or knees or feet, and then they would have Reiki. And there was even one situation where he had all the students line up in a row and then he and put their hands on each other's shoulders like that, and he would touch the shoulders of the person at the end, and the energy would sweep all the way through and give all of them Reiki. And so he had these different methods that he did. So he wasn't able to do attunements right away. That came as a next step. A Reiki developed further. And so then he was able to teach the attunement. But what he did was to make it simple, he made it into a ceremony where the student had, there's certain procedures that you do and different parts of it. And so that's the procedure some people have had where the teacher touches the shoulders. And then goes around to the front, opens the hands and puts symbols on the hands and taps them, goes around to the back, puts the hands on the shoulders again, and touches the base of the skull. There's a sealing process like that. It's like a ritual ceremony in which it's called an attunement or leiju that the student received Reiki. That's when the Sui developed that ritual. And he showed Hayashi how to do it also. And now Sui also started something called the Sui Reiki Ryoho Gakkai. And that was an organization of people who were committed to teaching Reiki classes. And so the first members of that group were told basically, or they had the purpose of teaching the same way that Asui taught. But Asui told Hayashi that the system could be developed, and he specifically asked Hayashi to develop it further. So Hayashi was a member of the Gakkai, but Asui told him something different than the others. The others was just, oh, this is the way you do it. You can't make it any better or anything like that. But Hayashi was told he should work to make it better. And so his ideas and the Gakkai ideas were in conflict. So he broke away and started his own organization called Reiki Kenkyu Kai. So he had his own Gakkai. And so in that group, then he sought to develop Reiki further. And so he did develop the Leiju or attunement process. And another thing he did is he began teaching level one and two together when he traveled. And so he added those developments to it. And so that's when, after that, Mrs. Takata came and had her for because her daughter had died and there was a funeral in Japan. And she also wanted to have some medical treatment because she had appendicitis and an ulcer and a couple of other medical problems. And so she went to a clinic and they were going to do an operation. And a voice spoke to her saying, "You do not need this operation." But she wasn't clairvoyant. That was not something that normally happened to her. She's looking all around the room and said, "Who said that? What?" Because she was all in the room by herself waiting for her operation. And then the voice spoke very clearly again, "You do not need this operation." And so then she thought, "I'll ask the doctor." So she asked the doctor if there was some way for her to receive her healing without an operation. He said, "Yes, there's Dr. Hayashi." And so then she went to Hayashi's clinic thinking this is just a regular medical clinic and there's some way that this can be healed without an operation. And so she was laying on the table and there were two practitioners with her hands on her legs and she felt vibration and heat. And she just thought, they, of course, have some kind of equipment that's making that vibration and heat. And she was laying there enjoying it. Then she started looking around the room and there was no equipment anywhere. And she's going, how could this work? And she saw they had the big kimono sleeves. And she thought, ah, they have batteries in their sleeves. So she's grabbing the kimono sleeve and going, where is it? Where's the batteries? Where are they? And then Hayashi walks in laughing a little and he says, oh, you don't understand. This is not a regular medical treatment. This is a spiritual treatment. It's different. And Takata goes, oh, wow. Oh, my. And but because it was working, she was feeling better. She was motivated to continue. And so she continued with the treatment. And it took 4 months and she was completely healed of all of her illnesses and conditions. And then she thought, I'm going to go back to Hawaii, but there's no one back there that does this. So she asked if she could be trained as in Reiki to be able to do the same thing. At that time, there was a strong misogynic thing going on there that only men could learn Reiki. That was what it was. So Hayashi said, though, he was very open. He said, since you won't be staying in Japan, then you can be a student, you can learn. So then she learned level one, which is called Shoden, level two, Okuden, and then part of master called Shimpiden, just part. So then she went back to Hawaii, and she was a very ambitious, industrious person. And she wanted to get the complete Shimpiden or master. She figured out a way to get Hayashi to come to Hawaii. And so she did that knowing the customs of Japan that when a young woman, before a young woman is married, she's encouraged to receive any type of education or training or travel that she can, because once she's married, she can't travel, nor can she be educated. So, miscegenic. Of course, we don't agree with that. But that's how it was. And Mrs. Takata knew that Hayashi had a young daughter, and she knew that if she invited the daughter to Hawaii, it was almost stipulated or required that she go. So she did that, and the daughter had to come, but she couldn't go by herself, and she had to have a chaperone. So Hayashi was a chaperone and came back. And that's how she got him to come back to Hawaii. And so then together they went around teaching classes, and then in that time she received the completion of her Shimpiden or master and got her master's certificate. That's how she got her master's. So she was very industrious and ambitious.
Yeah.
And so she, and the thing is, she brought Reiki to the United States, to Hawaii. And that's very important because what happened then is then the Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, where she lived. And then there was World War II started, and then the Japanese lost. And then they were, what the US did is it required that any sort of healing had to be licensed. And because Takata got out of there before that, then she brought Reiki with her. And because of that licensing requirement, the Gakkai, which was still there, decided they would become a secret society and they would only practice Reiki among themselves and they would not talk about Reiki to anyone else. And so when that happened, Reiki disappeared. Some of the modalities like acupuncture got licensed, but Reiki decided not to. And so the Gakkai disappeared. No one could find them or knew what they were doing. They never spoke about Reiki outside of their meetings. And Takata got Reiki out of there before that happened. And so, of course, she could speak freely about Reiki. And she began training people. And what happened after that is people that wanted to learn Reiki often came to Hawaii to learn it. And it was known that Takata was a Reiki master and was teaching. And many of the Japanese people at that time had to go to Hawaii or the US to learn Reiki, even though it started there, because the Gakkai remained secret even after the war was over.
Yeah. And so I'm going to just circle back a little bit, William. When Holy Fire came in, you talked about the fact that your energy was being evolved to prepare you for online. When Holy Fire came in, it came in with a hands-off style of attunement. Then, when it upgraded to Holy Fire 2 in, I think it was 2016 or 2017, it led to a hands-off style of attunement for Yasui Reiki. And one of the things that we didn't anticipate is that hands-off style of attunement made it so much easier for us to move this online. And it also allowed people who had physical disabilities to teach and so on. But you found some evidence after we moved to online teaching and after we experimented with it and discovered that it was very powerful, and you had spent some time upgrading your energy to ensure that it would be. You found some evidence that Mrs. Takata taught online, didn't you? Or
Yes.
not online, but at a distance.
At a distance, she did do remote teachings. Now, one of the things we need to remember is that we honor Usui, Hayashi, and Takata as the founders of Reiki.
Yes.
We look to them for guidance and how to practice. And the fact is, though, that Takata did do remote initiations. Now, there is solid evidence about this. Here's a book. It's called The History and System of Sui Shiki Roho Reiki Ryoho. So a Sui Shiki is Takata's style. So this is the history of Takata's style. So this author, Robert Fustin, interviewed all the living masters that had learned from Takata. And he found a number of very interesting things. He found out that all the masters that had received initiations before the middle of 1975 did not have a master symbol.
Okay.
And all the masters after 1975 did have a master symbol. And so from that, even though Takata never said anything, she added the master symbol in the middle of 75. And we also learned from the work of a number of Reiki masters, Arjava Petter, Doi Sensei, and others, that the way that Usui and Hayashi practiced, there was no master symbol. They never had a master symbol. Now, the master symbol that we use actually was a symbol that was a part of other spiritual teachings. And there's an interesting side note around this, too, that Mrs. Takata's cousin, Iris Ishikuro, who became a Reiki master, was a practitioner of Jo-Rei. And Jo-Rei is a religion, but it does hands-on healing. And in Jo-Rei, they have a symbol called the Goshinta. And the Goshinta is the same as the Usui master symbol. And Takata knew Miss was a cousin of Iris Ishikuro, who is a practitioner of Jo-Rei. And this is hypothetical. We don't know for sure. But because of this, it's likely that Iris Ishikuro showed Mrs. Takata the master symbol. That what we call the master symbol. I won't say the name because you're not supposed to say that, to the
Exactly.
general
No,
public.
we don't say it on the
No,
podcast.
it's a master symbol, but it has the Japanese name. And that's when Takata added the master symbol. So we don't know specifically that happened, but it seems very likely if that was her cousin and she was a master and they talked a lot, then Iris Ishikuro may have shown Takata the master symbol. Also, Takata had been to Japan, she may have had some experience with it there also. That's a possible source of where she got the idea of the master symbol. And then we don't know why she added it, though. There's no, except that it's possible, and this again is hypothetical, she was charging $10,000 for master. And it's possible that some of the students said, if we're going to pay $10,000, can't you give us something more? Isn't there something special you can give us to make us special if we pay $10,000 to do this? And so
Right.
maybe that's when she, maybe through some pressure or something, she came up with the master symbol and added, oh, yes, here you have the master symbol. And that could be what happened. We don't know for sure, but it's possible. That's a possible reason why she did do that, just because she charged so much money and maybe people asked her if there's something special they could get. But when she added the master symbol, she didn't tell any of the other masters that she added it. And
Okay.
only the new masters received it. And after Takata passed on, the remaining masters, many of them, but not all of them, formed an association and called the Reiki Alliance. And what happened, the story I heard is that people shared Reiki with each other, and then they started sharing their level two symbols with each other. And there were some differences between them. And then they did not show the master symbol, probably because some of them didn't even have it. But there were differences in the symbols between each of the the masters that shared them, small differences, and then the master symbol, they didn't show it with each other. So probably because not all of them had it, maybe there was very controversial. Yeah, that's an interesting idea around it.
We know that it's very powerful. And so I am grateful to her for adding it because it really does, I notice, connect me more with my higher self. And so that's neat. But you also found evidence that she did teach and do some attunements over the telephone and through letters. Did you not,
That's
William?
correct. Yes. What happened with Takata is that she had some students, her reputation was growing. She had some students that lived far away. And so they couldn't travel. And so she developed a method of doing remote initiations. Now, this is validated in this book. And it's, if you were to get this book, you would look on page 298 and it says remote initiation. So there it is.
Wow.
Remote initiations, and there are let there's a let handwritten letter. This author was very industrious, and what he did is there were files at a library that archived Mrs. Takata's letters that she wrote about Reiki.
Oh.
The door I think it's the Doris Duke Foundation has these letters. They were written by her in her handwriting and signed by her. And I'll just read what this one letter says. Very interesting. After, and this is, let's see, to Doris Duke. Doris Duke was actually a movie star, a famous movie star. Of course, we
Really?
haven't heard of her or anything, but apparently she was. And
Okay.
this is what she says. After talking to you on the phone, I realized that the symbol is easy to master, hit the important thing, but the important thing is your hands should be initiated to make it work. So that is the problem. I must contact you by short wave and do the initiation by remote control. This is her way of saying it, which I have done in the past to reach patients or students in the hospital or far away. If you wish to do this, then please call me. And there's phone numbers here. I tried it. It doesn't work. Mrs. Takata didn't answer.
It
So hoping there's to be some spiritual, no, it's out of service. So anyway, it's the actual phone number. And so then please call in the phone number to set the time so I can reach you in 30 seconds and initiate you in 10 minutes, and then your hands are ready to use. And
Wow.
just another note. So in other words, she said she can do it over the phone and at a distance. And she said she does that for students that can't come to her in person. And it says it increases your power into 100 horsepower. Is her. So the treatment results are faster. If you wish to try, there is no such thing as failure. You call me, otherwise, you will have to wait until we can get together somewhere, sometime on an in-person to person initiation. Best wishes for the season and a happy new year, love. And she uses her middle name, Hiromi. So it was a Mrs. Takata Hiroshi, or Hawaya Hiromi Takata was her name. That was her middle name, Hiromi. So she signs it with her middle name. Anyway, there we have it in her handwriting. And so she did these remote initiations. And so if we consider to be her to be one of the founders and an example of how to practice Reiki, then we have to consider also the fact that she did do remote initiations only when it was appropriate or needed. And so that's what happened with us in the pandemic. We couldn't go in person. It was needed. So if Mrs. Takata had been alive during the time of the pandemic, she would be doing remote initiations because she did them in the past already. This is a standard part of how Reiki is taught. It's traditional. And so all you have to do is get this book and you can read it for yourself. Now, a lot of people read it and say, yeah, but when they start to make up excuses why this isn't so good and blah, 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 you have to be honest. Takata did it. And she is one of the traditional teachers.
Founders. She is
She's
one
a
of the
founder and she did it. This is how she practiced. You have to then accept this is a traditional method. And so what we're doing, we don't use the phone, we use the internet now and Zoom. Zoom technology. So some of the research we did too, like I said, I work with very clairvoyant people. What they say is that there were guides that actually work together to inspire the people who developed the technology to create Zoom technology. And
Wow.
so those guides worked with then the ascended masters and the Reiki masters in spirit to come up with the energies that would flow over the Zoom technology. That's pretty, I didn't know about any of this stuff. And I'm going, whoa, that, wow, really? And so, yeah, they're saying, yeah, that's how what we did. So anyway, Takata did remote initiations. So there's verification for you that it is traditional. And
Yeah.
also the fact that they work. So the proof is in the pudding. If something works, then it works. And you should do it. If it doesn't work, it's just a theory or idea or hypothesis or something or somebody's pet peeve or something or idea to get it.
I love that. And William, one of the things that does differentiate, and one of the things that you were really clear about, you and Colleen, when we went online, was that it wasn't to be a pre-recorded initiation or class, like the class you felt in order to have the integrity that we want it to have, and the power in the initiations or the attunements, you felt that it needed to be in real time, like where you were all together. And can you speak about that a little bit versus
Yeah, when we were first doing it, that's what we felt would be necessary so that the teacher's auric field is being transmitted directly to the students at the time of the ignition, or as others call it, the attunement. That's what we felt. And then we did those, we do record them, but because the student was in the class, they can redo, they replay the ignition and actually receive a boost. But it's because the person took part in the class that was recorded and it worked. People are reporting back that yes, they like it, that it does work. However, what I notice is that even though they have that ability, often students will come and they'll take the Karuna Reiki, which is the next step, or they'll come back and review in person. So while they can review their classes with the recordings and get the initiations, the ignitions, some do still want to come in person. I would say that it takes the place of every aspect of the class to watch a class that you partook in that was recorded. But yeah, it does have value.
I explain that to people that the attunements and experiences, because I do share the recording with my students, they will work for you because they were intended for you. And so through the distance symbol, you can listen to them again and go deeper into your experience. And some people enjoy that because maybe somebody interrupted them, their doorbell rang or something during the class, and so they appreciate an opportunity to re-listen later on. But I explain it won't work for somebody who wasn't in the class because it wasn't intended for them. So to share your recording with somebody else is not effective. Can you tell us about some of the initial challenges when we moved online and how you overcame them?
Yeah, there was some doubt and skepticism, but the thing is, the power of the energy was so strong, it went out to the people that would be able to accept it and help them to become more receptive. They had it, they were wondering, is it possible? The energy seemed to just go out, and so people who came were very open to it, and it worked. Yeah, at first, my classes. Another thing is this, when I first started teaching Holy Fire, I didn't need anything new. My classes are already full. My practice is rolling along really well, no problems. I wasn't really looking for anything. And then Holy Fire comes along, and I'm thinking, yeah, but now I got to sell them on this too. And they're already, it's going. So then there was a dip, but then it started coming back up. So my classes got a little smaller at first, but then it kept going because the power of the energy just went out and helped people to be aware of what was there and that it was authentic. So the Holy Fire itself promoted itself in the community.
I was really lucky because I live in a fairly remote place in New Brunswick, Canada, that's a little bit hard to get to. And so when our classes went online, my classes filled. There were people that said, I have wanted to study with you for years, but I couldn't get there. Now I can. And one of the things I realized is that those online classes, for an introvert like me, it was so nice for an introverted person to be able to experience it on their own, in their own space, to have the energy flowing through their home, their space, and not to be in everybody else's energy. But I also realized at one point, wait a minute, these online classes, and I still teach a hybrid class because there are people that want to come in person. And so I still do a class where I include both online and in person now that we're able to from the pandemic. But it has a lower environmental footprint because somebody doesn't have to travel as far to get to the class. So it worked really well. Some people worry that the essence of Reiki can be lost if it's not taught in person. What have we done to ensure that the integrity and depth of the practice are retained in those online classes? And I'm thinking about the River of Life experience there.
It wasn't my intention or out of my initiative that this came about, but from our
Right.
guides, and they have always worked really well and produced amazingly good results. And as I was saying, it's the results that are important, not like saying, oh, we've got the only way, it's the best way, therefore our way is the right way. We look
No.
at the results and we say, it's working. That's where the value is, that it works. And that's how we developed this, looking at the results, and it worked phenomenally well. So we're very happy about it. And like I say, I use both, I guess, everyday business sense, I suppose you'd say, but then also spiritual guidance and awareness. I use my own awareness, but also I call in other highly developed clairvoyant people to work with me. So I've got experts in the various fields to develop this whole program. So that's why I did so well. Is that I don't just go on my own say so or what I feel is
Right.
right, but I get information from others, especially highly trained clairvoyants and who are going up to the source, to the brothers and sisters of the light, to Jesus and Mother Mary and Kuan Yin, and working with their guidance and coming through.
Yes, it's really, William, the entire evolution, not just for online, but for bringing Karuna Reiki forward, for bringing Holy Fire Reiki forward. This has all been listening to guidance. I recall that there's many times you said, I wasn't really looking for that, but it showed up.
Yeah, it's amazing how they work. And what they've told me too, because I start to wonder about what about the future? And they say, we'll take care of the future, but what you need to do is focus on your job right now. We've given you some things to do right now. Take care of those, learn these skills, then you will be ready for the next step.
I get that message too,
Yeah.
because I often wonder, so where does this lead? And I get told, just do what you need to do right now. And
Yeah, it's just you go into grade school or any type of school. Say you're in the third grade, and then you got a friend in the fifth grade, and you're thinking of all about what's happening in the fifth grade, and you're so caught up in all the things you're doing. And the thing is, if you don't study what's going on in the third grade, you're never going to get to the fifth grade. You're in the fifth grade, the third grade now. So study what you're being taught in this level and master it, be good at it, then you'll be ready to go on. But you can't jump from the third to the fifth grade just because you find out what they're doing. It's a developmental process.
yeah, I agree. And I love that. Hey, what kind of feedback did you get from, have you received from your online classes? I've received some amazing feedback. People love the
The
class.
feedback is that it's fantastic. They love it. They think it's great. They love that they don't have to travel anywhere. They have no travel expenses, no hotel expense, no meals out at restaurants or something. They're just when a break comes or lunch, they go into the kitchen and fix a sandwich and they kick back on their couch and relax and they're just at home. They don't have to go anywhere. They got a special room usually in their house where they're doing the class and it's so easy and there's no travel expense at all. And yet people feel connected. So they really do feel connected to the other students in class. and they make good friends, and they call them, people share their email addresses, and they contact each other and stay in touch. It's like there is camaraderie, and people do feel each other's energy. It does feel like you're actually in a class, and you can feel the other students' energies and so forth. Yeah. Based on experience, it works, but also based on tradition from Takata, having taught at a distance, there's also tradition in there as well. And like I said, I'm sure if Takata was al were alive now, she'd be teaching online. She'd be using Zoom technology.
If she used the telephone
Yeah.
back then, and it was fairly advanced technology at that time. So yeah, I think that's probably a good supposition. I want to talk about, just before we wrap up, accessibility and outreach and how this has impacted the spread of Reiki. I know for me personally, I'm mentoring two students from China, one in Hong Kong and one who teaches in mainland China. And William, that wouldn't have been possible without online Reiki. And it feels almost historic. I know that one of our first classes, one of the first co-teaches I did in China with my student Ting Zhang. It was during the COVID protests, and I was just so grateful that we were spreading Reiki in what was a very difficult time for our Chinese students. It felt almost historic. And I teach in Australia. It really opened what was possible. Have you noticed the same thing?
Yeah, it's these various situations have made Reiki more important, and people are much more receptive. And especially now in Asia, now I'm teaching in Korea and in Taiwan, and we have a teacher in Hong Kong also. I've taught in Hong Kong quite a bit in the past, but now we have a current teacher in Hong Kong is part of our licensed teacher program.
Just did his co-teach, so he's licensed for level one and two now.
Hey, yeah, so we've got a very big contingent in Asia. And it's expanding
It
and
is.
it's taken off, and they really like Reiki. And they're so happy for us too that we're coming, that we're from the US coming to them to help them learn Reiki. And they really like that we're doing that.
I love it. We're expanding into South America with Karen Keegg and Jay Jackson being there as licensed teachers, and also Sue Machado is working through with Colleen Benelli, bringing Reiki to Brazil. We've got Korea. It's really nice that our international program is expanding, and I really feel that the online Reiki has made that possible. It would have been very difficult for Ting and I to travel to China together to teach, but it was no trouble at all to teach online. I just had to get up at 4 in the morning to make it happen.
Yeah, and they're also like in China, there are some, I'm not sure, but there could be some government opposition.
There can be. Yeah. So teaching online keeps everyone safe.
Yeah. As long as you
Yeah.
don't try and block our internet signals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Have you personally, William, I've taught some hybrid classes. I do tell people where I've got some people online and some people in person. I usually tell my students when I'm training them, get used to teaching in person and teaching online before you put it together, because it's tougher. It is tougher to really be able to focus on both, I find personally. Have you taught any of those hybrid classes yet?
Yeah, I taught one. I one or the other. So I tend not to do that if I can. And I like teaching either completely online or completely in person.
Completely in person. Yeah, I'm in such a small place that people often need a combination. And it's worked out well for me, because sometimes as I would go, somebody maybe planned to travel but then got sick, and so they were able to join me online. But I do find,
Yeah.
yeah, so.
Amazing. I know. This is such a wonderful thing. And while we certainly would not have wanted COVID to take place, it's challenged us to create a system that works in conditions like this. And hopefully no other conditions like COVID are going to come up, but if they do, we're ready. And even now, even though COVID has died down somewhat, it does save people a lot of money, makes it much easier to take the class. They don't have to go away from home. They sleep in their own bed at night. And
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's really
So.
special. And what would you say to somebody who's still skeptical after hearing all of this? Would you just suggest that they give it a try?
Yeah, I would say give it a try. And many teachers offer a money back guarantee. If they find it doesn't work, you get your money back. And nobody has ever asked for their money back. So,
Nobody has
you
ever
know,
asked. And
yeah, I would say maybe try getting Reiki from a person that's taken their classes online and see what that's either in person or at a distance and see what their Reiki feels like. And that might be a step you could take if you're wondering about it. But like I say, our attitude has always been people have the right to teach Reiki any way they want. We're not stipulating our way is the only correct way. We're saying any way the person's guided to teach is the right way for them to teach. And as long as they're not breaking any laws or doing anything harmful to people, and we don't want to tell people, you should do holy fire. This is the right way. What we say is meditate on holy fire. And if you're guided to take it, go ahead and take the class.
yeah.
So only people who are guided to take it of their own volition come to the class. We're not trying to strong arm them or convince them or, and also we never say that other classes are wrong or bad or less than our class. And we just say that some classes are more appropriate for people and some are not. It's really valuable to have a different variety and a variety of classes for people to take, and then you find one that's exactly right for you. So we say that about holy fire. If you're wondering about it, just meditate on it and just wait and see what sort of guidance you get around it. And then
Right.
go ahead and, you know, decide what to do.
You've said all along it's not for everyone. And I love that's one of the things I love about the ICRT is just your openness to respecting that everyone has their own path and journey and that they need to follow their own guidance. I really appreciate that. What do you think the future is of this? And I know your guides have told you just to concentrate on the present. But as we navigate this post-pandemic world, Reiki practitioners and educators, we're adapting, we're evolving. Do you get any indication of where we're going, or is that
I think
still?
it's just going to make an even more interconnected world. And so people will be exchanging Reiki with the people on the other side of the planet and in other countries and things like that. And so there'll tend to be a more and more interconnected population of Reiki practitioners all over the planet. And we'll just all be happy and be a lot of fun interacting with people.
It makes me excited to see Reiki spreading as it is because it's had such a positive effect on my life. It's had such a positive effect on the lives of everybody that I've taught or witnessed their evolution through Reiki. So that's fantastic. William, as we wrap up today, would you like to lead people in a short experience to just help them connect with their own guidance with regards to this, or with regards to moving forward in their Reiki journey?
Yeah, we can do that. And before we do it, I'm going to explain how we're going to do it. What would be appropriate is rather than me play music through my computer over through the internet, if you had some music to play in the background during this short experience, and we like to use Julie True, Music to Journal By, Volume 1, Healing Presence. Okay, so we're going to do an experience. This is called a Holy Fire experience. And in the experience, what happens is rather than me guiding the whole process, I got it just enough to get it going and I stopped talking. And then the energy will guide you directly. One of the things we found about holy fire is the more the teacher stays out of it, the more powerful it is. Because it's not the teacher's energy really that does anything, it's the energy of the holy fire that directly comes into the student. And that's why it works so well. The teacher just gets it going and then moves back, stops talking. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll just talk for a short time and I'll stop talking. But of course, I'd like you to have your beautiful music playing in the background. And so you could be seated or laying down. You could even move or stretch or change your position if you feel the desire to do. And so just go ahead, start your music and find a place to relax. And I'd like you to take a couple of really deep breaths. Just allowing yourself to relax. And I'd like you to imagine that it's a very beautiful day, a warm and sunny day. And I'd like you to imagine that you're barefoot and you're walking through a beautiful forest. And as you walk down the path, you realize that this forest is very safe, very gentle and safe. Feels good to be here. And just notice the plants and flowers and trees and bushes and grass, all the living things around you. And as you breathe into yourself, just imagine you're actually breathing in the life essence of the forest. Merging with the life energies of the forest, this wonderful, beautiful forest. And with each step that you take, imagine you can feel the energies of the earth flowing up through the bottoms of your feet. And as you're walking along up ahead, you see it getting lighter, and you realize you're coming out to the edge of the forest, and you walk out, and there before you is a beautiful river. It's a small river, and this is a very special river. This is called the River of Life. And the water of this river is coming from a very special place. Off in the distance, there's a beautiful mountain range. And the rain and snow that falls on these mountains is very special. The mountains are so tall, they actually rise up into higher dimensions of consciousness. And so the rain and snow that falls on them is filled with life energy, filled with healing. And the snow melts and forms little streams, and gradually it forms into a beautiful river. And this river is filled with all the life energies that exist on the entire planet. It has the life energy of every living thing on Earth. It also is filled with the life energies that are exactly right for you. Because you have a very special purpose here on the planet, on Earth. And this river knows exactly what you need. And the water of the river is very special also. It's very unusual. Normally you wouldn't be able to do this, but on this river you can actually breathe underwater. The water of the river is crystal clear, and you can actually breathe underwater, meaning you can stay underwater a long time. And as you breathe, the water of the river is crystal clear. It flows through you, through your entire being. Just fills you with life and healing and blessing. It knows exactly what you need to be healed, and it works on these issues for you to heal them. And if there's any issue or any lesson for you to learn, you're also shown that lesson either consciously or even subconsciously. And so you follow the path down toward the river, and it goes along the riverbank, and there are beautiful flowers and plants and bushes there along the riverbank. And then it turns and actually goes down into the waters of the river. Just follow the path and take a few steps into the water so you can feel the water swirling around your feet. Very soothing and healing and relaxing. And then just bend down and take your cupped hands and scoop up some of the crystal clear water, bringing it to your lips and drinking the river of life. Such a wonderfully refreshing feeling from the water. And now you're ready and you feel that the river is calling you now, calling to you, asking you to enter into the wonderful waters of the river. So you can go ahead now and go forward and begin to float and swim and play in the river. And the waters of the river are guiding you now, so you know exactly what to do and where to go. Allow yourself to be guided by the river of life. You can continue with your experience as long as you feel got it to do. And whenever you're ready, take a couple of deep breaths. Bring your awareness to your eye. And then slowly open your eyes and come back. And then, whenever you're ready, take some time to write down your experiences in your notebooks.
Liam, I always get lost in that music and as well in your meditations. So I was a little bit lost there, but I know people will go ahead and write this down and integrate this in their own time. I just want to thank you so much for being here with us today and for explaining this to us, and wish you well in your travels that are coming up. And I also just want to thank the listeners for being here with us. Thank you.
Oh, good. You're welcome. Yeah. If anyone wants to learn more about my work, they can go to reiki.org. And of course, I highly recommend Pam and her classes. She's one of our standing students and licensed teachers. Yeah. Great.
Thank you. William, I will have a link to your website on in the podcast links. Also, William, you wrote an article about putting Reiki online as, didn't you, about when Reiki first went online, you wrote an article about it.
Yeah, what you can do is go to reiki.org and in search bar do online Reiki and it
Exactly.
should pop up. Yeah.
So I'll see if I can get it to include in the link, but if I can't, you can look at
Yeah, it'll either include as a title from one of the past magazines or the actual article itself if it's on the site.
Perfect. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a great website. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for
Okay.
inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Wonderful. Namaste, everyone.
Take care. Bye, Pam.
Bye.